Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers, brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking, located in the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Byron Earnhardt. I am the programming director here at Barrett, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to our corner of the banking world and hope that we can make your bank, your staff, and maybe even your day a better one. In today's episode, we sit down with Trish Springfield, the Executive Vice President for Retail Banking at Southern First in South Carolina. This is part one of a two-part series on banking and culture and how to be better and how to institute a better culture within your bank. We hope you enjoy this series as much as we enjoyed recording it. Trish, welcome to the podcast on Main Street Banking. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So tell us a little bit. You're at Southern First. Tell us a little bit about Southern First.
Absolutely. So Southern First is based out of South Carolina. We are a $1.7 billion organization, and we've just expanded in the last 18 months to also North Carolina and Georgia.
All right. And what do you're a retail executive with them?
Absolutely. So my focus is on deposits and client service.
All right. My favorite part, where I grew up, is in retail banking there. Well, as we talked about earlier, our topic today is on culture and bank culture and things that we can learn from it and how to improve it. I know everybody talks about what a great culture they've got, but I think from our conversations, that's not always true. So let's start from the very beginning. What is culture and why should banks even focus on it?
I think that's a great question, and it's, in my opinion, there are two definitions of culture. They're pretty simple. The first one is how we act when everyone is watching. Mm. When is that moment of truth? Leadership is stressed. Maybe we're behind goal. Maybe we're struggling with a decision. How do I act when the world, or at least all of our employees, are watching? Mm-hmm. The second one I think is equally important. How do we act when no one's watching? So if I have to motivate you all the time, that's not the culture. I am pushing you. If I have a culture that we act the same whether they're watching or not, then to me, the culture is now driving behavior, not a leader driving behavior.
I agree with you 100%. How do we measure something like that, though?
So part of it is when behavior occurs, does it match our core values? And some companies don't even identify their core values. We actually do at Southern First. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other banks do it as well. Mm-hmm. One, we ask, can people repeat them? But more importantly, when we recognize good behavior, we always tie it to one of those core values.
Okay. So from the very beginning, these core values that we've set up and then instituting practices and procedures that reflect upon that, tying it back to one of those values?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there any other process that's attached to it, particularly down at the branch level? What are some of the processes that you implement?
So some of the time, obviously, you're going to have core values. You'll track that. You'll associate that with successes or failures. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we didn't follow on core value number two. Mm-hmm. Where I think there's opportunity is measuring the impact to clients. So, for example, we always measure success. We have goals for number of accounts opened or number of loans closed or revenue that we have earned. We track all the what I call success factors.
Right.
For a good culture, I think one of the greatest metrics is what are the pain points. So in our industry, sometimes we're hearing things like frictionless experiences. That's a fancy word for saying what doesn't work real well. It's bumpy. I mean, it's just a rocky thing, and clients, they cringe when they have to do it. We cringe when we ask them to do it.
Right.
So we are starting, at least in our organization, we're starting to track the top 10 problems. What is no fun to do as a teller that you just roll your eyes every time you have to do it, but you know it's expected? Yeah. What as a manager are you being asked to do that you really feel like does not serve the client's interest, but you're afraid to tell us? Or it takes so long to print the brand new debit card, clients are yawning.
Yes.
If we start tracking that, then I think our culture is one of empowerment. Byron sees that this needs to be fixed, and he tells Trish, this stinks. Our clients don't like it. I'm happy to do it, but you need to know. They roll their eyes. So we are starting to track the top 10 in addition to the top 10 successes. Now we're asking, and we're hosting calls with our team who serve clients every day. Where is it bumpy? Let's fix it.
I think I could speak for some of my, I can hear some of my previous banker in the back here saying, yeah, there's no way I'm going to tell management this doesn't work. Or even if they do say something about it, that'll never get done. I mean, can you speak to that? I mean, I'm sure there's bankers that were, I can hear the eyes rolling already going, yeah, that'll never happen in my bank.
Yeah, so there's a couple ways to get feedback to leadership. And right. So it's scary, right? You want to tell a CEO, you know, the emperor has no clothes, right?
Right, exactly.
So nobody's going to tell him
right.
that, so we're all just going to
right.
So part of it is creating a feedback pipeline mm-hmm. where people can share with us what they're thinking. And a lot of that should be anonymous. They can do it online. We use a tool called Workplace that allows you to create feedback.
Okay.
But you can also do feedback through surveys that are anonymous.
Okay.
Frankly, we can skip the employee and go straight to the customer. Tell me what's clunky. And most of our clients will actually tell us mm-hmm. this, you know, you're a great bank. I'm going to continue to bank with you. But boy, howdy, this process opening accounts is way too long.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is asking our clients as well. We actually bring them in for lunch and just say, appreciate you banking with us. What's going well? By the way, if you were me, the head of this bank, what would you change?
Mm.
And it's surprising what they'll tell you. And sometimes they'll tell us what our employees are telling them.
That was going to be my next question. I've been talking to some of my previous my customers in a previous job. It's interesting. Sometimes they would tell me and do similar things. You know, hey, can you tell me what we're doing wrong? What can I do to serve you? That conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And about half the time it would be, well, you do fine, but I hear so-and-so when I go to the teller line, they're having a lot of trouble. And it's, you know, it's, wow. It was an eye-opening for me, an aha moment that said, man, I need to go ask so-and-so teller, so-and-so loan assistant about that.
Yes.
And, you know, the answer was always, oh, I just forgot to mention it to you. I get that. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, but you told my best customer. You know, if you're going to tell somebody, tell the bank, you know, don't tell the customer that. But
so true.
but I'm glad that the feedback there, the relationship was there where you
yeah.
could, the trust was there on both parties from the employee and the customer.
Yes.
To give me that honest feedback.
So, man, I love your passion for the subject, and you're spot on. And so one of the things I share with our team recently is we talk about a great client experience,
mm-hmm.
right? We want our culture to be, we're Southerners, let's just be honest.
Right.
We're full of hospitality.
If you couldn't tell by the accent.
Yeah, exactly. I'm clearly not from New Jersey.
Right.
But we're so full of hospitality. We love to mm-hmm. engage people. We want to get to know you and your family and kind of what your interests are. So as we talk about creating this great experience, how do we do it in a way that makes change?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we as leaders have to set some good rules. First of all, to create a great client experience, we don't put it on our Outlook calendars.
Right.
It happens. Stuff happens. So one of the things I share with my team is, listen, I literally was going to a meeting that tends to have 15 to 20 people attend this meeting on a regular basis. I was going to be late. I told the leader of the meeting, going to be late. They said, fine, I think we'll go ahead and start, but just when you get here, get here. Long story short, I get there and it's just me and the leader. And I said, hey, I was 5 minutes late. What happened? They use this phrase. You won't believe it. Everyone contacted me via cell or a text and said, something came up. Something came up. You know, I was going to be there. Something came
right.
up. Had a client call. Something came up. And it made me think about that phrase. Something came up. To have a great client experience, it's not on your terms.
Right.
It's when something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So when something comes up, I'm a busy person, you're a busy person, you did a lot of lending at your time, and
mm-hmm.
this week in particular, you've been a busy
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
So somebody calls you and says, Byron, I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Something comes up, then you have to make a choice. Am I gonna change my agenda to now be your agenda? And have I empowered my employees to change the agenda I gave them for today to the agenda Byron just received?
Without having to clear through
without
me.
Without asking permission.
Yeah, amen.
So,
amen.
We talked about when something, the way you have great client experiences and an amazing culture is that you have to have what I call distributed leadership or
mm-hmm.
empowerment.
Okay.
Byron, you need to know this is how we're going to serve our clients. And we're pretty specific about how we serve our clients. And if you get a request, drop what I told you to do and you deal with the something that came up. And by the way, if you can't get me for a rate exception, if you can't get me for
right.
a fee removal,
stuff.
Whatever,
yeah.
the stuff you gotta do, here's the deal. I'm gonna make it with you. You make the call,
mm-hmm.
I got your back. And the whole world will know you and I are on the same page. If you did something I think is absolutely crazy, you and I will have a conversation that's private that says, next time, Byron, think of it this way. And the whole world still sees it wrong.
And it's amazing. The bank will still stay open, isn't it?
It hadn't shut down yet.
And banks still make money and the clients still get served.
Exactly.
It's amazing that that could still happen. No, I think you're dead on right. I think that's an issue in bank culture that the hierarchy has to stay in place because I say so. And,
yeah.
And so many things like that that binds the ability to service the customer, and the frontline bankers know this intuitively, know what you and I are talking about, that they're wanting to serve the customer and go out of the way, because they get that they can get service, they can get the money. The bank next door's money is just as green as our bank.
Exactly.
They know that they're banking with the people, not the logo, the name.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bind their hands up,
and everybody does it.
So, there's no video here, but Trish and I both just open our arms. We're like, ugh.
Like, God's
kaboom. So
everybody that has a bad experience, it's like, you know, mega whatever.
Right.
Mega bank, mega company, mm-hmm. mega department store, whatever. It's a personless, personality-less, just machine.
Yeah.
So we have to create these cultures where people know, if this was your business, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Do it. So I think gone are the days of the one leader who's expected to have all the vision, all the knowledge, all the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think distributed leadership, mm-hmm. because the person closest to the client knows the most. And the furthest I am away, then the least effective I am to make the right changes. So you are so spot on about it. And how do we create that? I think we got to give them a hall pass that says, yeah. if you've got something else going on, but a client has something come up, forget my request. You deal with what just came up, and then get back to.
And then I like what you said to tag on to that. And I got your back.
Yes.
And I got you covered on the back end, because it's fine to ignore. I'll ignore you all day long. I got no problem ignoring people. It's when I do it, and I do it for a good reason. I'm not called out of the carpet for it.
Exactly.
And I think that's the release that a good culture,
yes.
can give the employee to be, create, go out there. I don't want you in this meeting. Go out there and create a new product. Go to your class. Go create a new product. Go find me some new way to make money.
Yes.
Go.
Yes. You're exactly right.
So yeah, I agree with you on that. That's our episode for today. We appreciate you spending some time with us. If you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast and follow us at Barrett Banking on Twitter or Barrett School of Banking on Facebook and LinkedIn. We have an ever-growing slate of classes, seminars, and webinars that are available. We also have our industry-leading Graduate School of Banking held every May, and we look forward to seeing you at any or all of our events. For more information, check out our website at barrett.ws. And from Memphis, the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, we'll see y'all next time on Main Street Banking.